Well, Happy New Year from me.
Happy New Year.
It's very good to see you, especially if I haven't seen you yet, this new year. So I don't know if it's me saying welcome back or you saying welcome back to me after being away last week. But anyway, Happy New Year. We're starting a new series this morning. It comes from the book of Numbers in the Old Testament. That's the fourth book of the Bible. And I hope you'll forgive me. I'm just going to read direct using the text that's printed on the inside of the welcome sheet. What I have attempted to do is to squash down two chapters into a fairly short manageable section, something that you can follow quite easily. I hope I haven't played roughshod or run roughshod over scripture doing that. I wanted to focus on particular things and just help you to follow the kind of the story, if you like, of what is actually going on in those first couple of chapters. So I'm going to read them from chapters 1 and 2. A year after Israel's departure from Egypt, the Lord spoke to Moses in the tabernacle in the wilderness of Sinai. On the first day of the second month of that year, he said, "From the whole community of Israel, record the names of all the warriors by their families and clans. List all the men 20 years old or older who are able to go to war. You and Aaron must register the troops, and you'll be assisted by one family leader from each tribe." So Moses and Aaron called together these chosen leaders, and they assembled the whole community of Israel on that very day. All the people were registered according to their ancestry by their clans and families. The men of Israel who were 20 years old or older were listed one by one, just as the Lord said. So Moses recorded their names in the wilderness of Sinai. The total number was 603,550. I got there eventually. I did learn to read as a school. Excuse me. But this total didn't include the Levites. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Don't include the tribe of Levi in the registration. Don't count them with the rest of the Israelites. Each tribe of Israel will camp in a designated area with its own family banner, but the Levites will camp around the tabernacle of the covenant to protect the community of Israel from the Lord's anger. The Levites are responsible to stand guard around the tabernacle." Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses and Aaron. "When the Israelites set up camp, each tribe will be assigned its own area. The tribal divisions will camp beneath their family banners on all four sides of the tabernacle, but at some distance from it. Then the tabernacle carried by the Levites will set out from the middle of the camp. All the tribes are to travel in the same order that they camp, each in position under the appropriate family banner." And so the people of Israel did everything as the Lord had commanded Moses. Each clan and family set up camp and marched under their banners exactly as the Lord had instructed them. If you're wondering what I missed out, it was the names of the tribes and the names of the leaders of the tribes. It was the names of the tribes and the number from each specific tribe. And given the difficulty I had with that total number, I won't bother with the others. And it was, too, the tribes and their numbers and on what side they're going to gather and all. So that's why I didn't read those things. I read the story elements, if you like, the narrative elements. So we're starting this new series, and our theme for this morning is the family banner. And you might have picked up in the second half of that reading, there's quite a lot about family banners and what they're supposed to do. But I thought I'd start, since it's New Year and this is my first message of the New Year, kind of by just asking that question, whether you're glad it's a New Year. How was 2016 for you? Was it a good year? Was it a bad year? I think the media had us kind of believing that it was quite a bad year. We had Brexit. Oh, no. We had England going out of the European Cup quite early. Oh, dear. We had Trump being elected. Oh, dear. We had all those people who died, all those famous media personalities and media darlings, you know, Carrie Fisher, Debbie Reynolds, Ronnie Corbett, Victoria Woods, Muhammad Ali, just all kinds of people. There was a whole list of them who died in 2016. And so there was a bit of a sense in the media, at least, of thank goodness that 2016 is over and we can get on with 2017. But you might have had a really great 2016. It might have been fantastic for you. Like Joanne, you had little baby Isaac, you know, fantastic, wonderful. 2016 might be a wonderful year, and actually, you're not quite sure if 2017 is going to live up to it. So whatever your year and however you're feeling at this point, I hope that what we're going to look at today is just going to give us a little grounding as we go into the start of this new year. This book of Numbers is called the Book of Numbers because it's got a lot of numbers in it, at least near the start, and then there's more counting that happens halfway through it as well. So I think that's where it gets its name, the Book of Numbers, from. But it's a book which is quite interesting in that it spans a really long period of time. It actually spans 40 years. And it's the 40-year period in which the people of Israel, these tribes led by Moses, were wandering about in the desert. The point they start, they're still at Sinai. They're still at the place where God gave them the Ten Commandments. And the story of Numbers is basically that the point where they decide they scout out the new land. They arrive at the new land fairly soon, this promised land they're supposed to be heading to. And they send out scouts, and 10 of the 12 scouts say, whoa, let's not go there. And so they don't do that. And God's judgment on them is to spend the next 40 years wandering the desert. And to be honest, not a great deal seems to happen in those 40 years. And so the whole of Numbers covers a period of 40 years. And then the book afterwards, Deuteronomy, that's Moses waving goodbye, giving his farewell sermon, if you like, from the top of a mountain as they're about to enter the promised land 40 years later. So the book of Numbers itself is a story about moving on. It's a story about leaving Egypt behind for them, leaving Sinai behind, and moving on. And having a new chapter in their lives as a people. So for 2016, you might be quite glad to be moving on. You might want to say, let's get out of here, let's go and find something a little bit better. Or it might be that if 2016 was great for you, actually, you don't really want to move on at all. You would quite like to just stay. You wish it could be the 31st of December permanently so that 2016 hangs around forever. But that's not going to happen. So we're all moving on. We're all moving on into this new year. And so I thought it would help just to look at this title then, the family banner, and to think about how it grounds us for this year ahead. In the Bible, there's two words in the Old Testament English. There's two words for banner. The first one, can you give us a click in, please, comes up in this phrase, the Lord is my banner. You might recognise that, you might not. But it comes from the book of Exodus. It comes, again, from a story involving Moses. It comes from a battle scene, okay, where the Israelites are fighting another people group, and Moses has to pray, and if his arms drop, they start losing the battle. But as long as he's got his arms in the air, everything's great. And he gets a couple of people to help hold his arms up so he can be constantly praying for the people, and they win the battle. And afterwards Moses says this, he says, the Lord is my banner, and he names the place, I think Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. It's a banner of war. Can you click us again, Ian, please? It's a banner of war. Here's a kind of Roman style, if you can see that. Roman style banner, a standard perhaps would be the word you might use, that you'll carry into battle with you. You know, you take it into battle, this is your banner. Maybe it encourages your troops. I don't know. It's a sign that you are not conquered. When the banner falls, when the standard falls, then you're conquered, kind of thing. And so Moses is saying, the Lord is my banner. We're conquering in his name. We are battling in his name. This is, you know, it's all kind of, it's quite warfare-y type picture. But there's another type of banner as well. Can you click us again, Ian, please? And again. And it comes up in this phrase. his banner over me is love. That those words come from the Song of Solomon, Song of Songs, another book in the Bible, chapter 2, verse 4. It says, I am my beloved's and he is mine. His banner over me is love. And this is a different kind of a banner. That's not a banner of warfare, is it? You wouldn't go with your guns and your cannons and a sign saying love. You wouldn't do that. This is a different type of banner. Maybe it's a banner under which you glory. Maybe it's a banner of celebration. That kind of thing. Can you click us again? It made me think about this. It made me think about the athletes coming into the Rio Olympics. That was a high point in 2016. More medals than any other Olympics for Team GB. Fantastic. But the Union Jack then, rather than being a symbol of warfare, if you like, we're going to win for Britain. It's more like saying we are honoured to be able to walk under this banner and represent our country. And so there's Andy Murray carrying the flag. And this is the type of banner that we're talking about today. Not the warfare banner, but this type of banner. The banner that says, God loves me. The banner that says, I belong to God. These are the banners, if you like, the family banners that the people were carrying around. They'd recognise that that was their tribe or whatever, and this is what they would follow. This was their family banner. Still not working. Maybe it's my batteries are finally dead. Click us again in the end, please. Three things about the banner. Firstly, verse 52, the end of chapter 1. Each tribe of Israel camps in a designated area with its own family banner. The banner gives identification. It says, this is that we belong here. It says, this is my family. And there were areas, they didn't, you know, this is your area. You can tell it's your area because it's got your symbol in it, your banner in it. If you stick up the picture in, made me think a bit of this. Okay, this is Euro 2016. Here's Wales, they've got their flags. They're all wearing their matching Wales shirts. Yes? They're identifying with Wales, with the Welsh dragon. This is what they're doing. My identity is Welsh. Here I am. This is who I am. I'm from the Welsh clan. You know, if there was such a thing, yeah? In the Bible. But it's that idea, yeah? Here's the flag. The flag of Wales. We identify with that. We wear the uniform, whatever. So these banners they were carrying were something that gave them their identity. They identified with one another. They identified in their common ancestry. You know, these were tribes. There was, I'd say, 11 full tribes and 2 half tribes. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Thank you, Gary. And they're all listed. If you turn to the Bible, you get the names of the 11 sons of Jacob, the 12th one was Joseph, and Joseph was honoured. He's the one with the technicolour dream coat that saved the people through the dreams and sorting out the food for the family and everything. And God's honour on him was that both his sons would be tribes in their own right, or half tribes anyway.
Ephraim and Manasseh.
They're the two. So you've got all these names anyway, and these are then all the different tribes, and they've all got their own family banner. They all identify in the fact that this is their ancestor. My ancestor is Ephraim, my ancestor is Dan, my ancestor is Issachar, my ancestor is Zebulun, my ancestor is Judah. They identify in that. For us, you know, I've no idea who my ancestor is, really. I guess he had the name Howes somewhere along the line, but I don't know. No idea. I don't have a Howes coat of arms that I wave around and say, oh, this is my coat of arms. And that everybody in the Howes family can have this coat of arms. I don't have that. you know, before anything else, my identity now is in Jesus. I identify with him and in him. And we will identify, if you're a Christian today, you identify with him and in him. This is what it says in Colossians 2 verse 12. Can you stick that up for us, Ian, please? It says, "For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life, because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead." We're buried with Christ, we're raised with Christ when we when we come out of the water, maybe in the picture of baptism, but yes, you know, we have this new life. We identify with the Lord Jesus. The command to be baptized from the end of Acts, when Peter's given his Pentecost message, he says, "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus." He's the one we identify with. If you're a Christian today, you identify with him. And the fact that you are baptized shows that you identify with him. That's what you're doing. So you belong to Christ. If you haven't been baptized, it doesn't mean you're not a Christian. Okay? I think it's baptism is kind of an outward thing to do. But maybe, actually, you need to take that step for yourself. Maybe you need to be baptized still. You know, maybe it's time to say outwardly, to show everyone, show God actually, that you're identifying with the Lord Jesus. You're saying, "He's Christ, I'm following him, I'm burying my old life with him, I'm being raised to new life with him." So there's this identification thing. Can you hit us again, Ian, please? Yeah, and again. The next thing that happens is they start gathering beneath it. Chapter 2, verse 2. "Each tribe is assigned its own area, and the tribal divisions will camp beneath their family banners on all four sides of the tabernacle." So there's this scene where the tabernacle is in the middle. The tabernacle is the place of worship, the tent where God's presence dwells amongst them. And on each side of them, a bit like the four walls of this room, if you like, they have the tribes arranged. Now, in the reading, it said 603,000 names were recorded. That was the number of men who were 20 years old and more. That didn't include everybody else. It didn't include the women, it didn't include the children, and it didn't include the teenagers. So there's a vast, vast number of people trying to camp around this this tabernacle. Huge, huge number. And the flags give the point where they come and they meet. That's fine, you can stick that up here. That's lovely. If you've ever been camping to a big camping campsite or something, it's quite hard to find your tent. And people have different methods. Like at Glastonbury, you see these fields full of tents. And people have put up their own flags, and they've done things which mean that from a distance they can see where they're supposed to go and where their tent is. Because in the dark, you know, and in the middle of a field, you know, with 100,000 other tents or however many it is, you know, it's like finding a needle in a haystack otherwise, isn't it? So this idea of the banner, the flag, it gives a marking point. But it gives a point as well where they're gathering beneath that then. This is where you come. I quite like the fact that when you put the four arrows, if you like, here together, they form a cross shape. Well, actually, there's a few churches and Christian organisations that have used them. But there's this phrase of Jesus as well where he says that people will come from the north and the south and the east and the west to take their places at the kingdom of God. At the banquet in the kingdom of God. And for us, we gather as well under our banner. We're baptized with Christ, but we also gather in his name. Can you put up the next slide? Well, it might be a couple of clicks in, please. We gather in his name. Jesus says famously, where two or three are gathered as my followers, or literally, in my name, there I am among them. I'm in the middle. I'm in the midst. So he's our rallying point. He is our the point where we come to, if you like. We recognise that Jesus is amongst us as we gather together. We gather beneath his banner. Verse 17, lastly, talks about how the tribes travel in the same order that they camp, and each in position under the appropriate family banner. The banner, maybe, I imagine, kind of heads up, a bit like in a parade or something. Banner heading up the family group, and the people would walk behind it. In verse 34, the New Living Translation uses the word marched. I think that makes us all think of people, you know, doing that. I don't think they got 2 million people marching in time somehow. I don't think it happened. Okay, especially not the kids. I mean, just useless. Anyway, but they would walk, they would travel under this banner. Wherever they went, the banner went with them. They walked under it. It made me think about... my clicker worked, that's good. It made me think about police force. Now, just leave aside the law enforcement aspect of it in a moment. But they all wear that badge. They have it on their chest, they've got it on their helmet. It gives them the authority to do what they do. But it doesn't matter, actually, whether they're all marching in a line, as they do occasionally at the parades and stuff. You do get police officers doing that, don't you? But whether they're out on duty, they're still wearing that badge, they're still carrying on under that flag, under that banner. In the Bible, the word walk often is just translated as live. It happens quite a lot in the New Testament. One example might be from here, actually. It says, now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, continue to follow or walk in him. Other translations, other Bibles say, continue to live in him. The idea that we walk through life. Yeah? You could run through life, but you'd finish it quite quick. No, we walk through life. We live in and with Jesus. And so we're walking under that banner. And so Paul goes on to say in that same letter in Colossians, he says, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of or in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. The police officer does what he does because he does it in the name of the law enforcement power, which is given to him from higher up. From the crown. Yeah. That's what he does. So everything that he does, he's doing in the name of the crown. And likewise, then Paul is saying, everything you do, whatever it is, do it in the name of the crown. Live under it. Walk under it. Not the crown of Queen Elizabeth, but the crown of the Lord Jesus. Do it in his name. Walk under it. And I was... Was anyone else a cub? I was a Cub Scout. Was anyone else a Cub Scout? Yeah. Kieran must be about the age I was when I started Cubs. And every year, they'd have a Cubs performance, probably at Christmas time. And every year, this other kid in my year would get chosen to lead us off in this chant. That we did it every year at the start of Cubs, of the Cub performance. It went, everywhere we go, people want to know. Is this ringing your bells to anyone? Who we are and where we come from. And every line he says, everyone else then says it afterwards. Everywhere we go, everywhere we go, people want to know, people want to know. And maybe that's the last lines. And if they don't hear us, we say it a little louder. And this guy in my ear had this enormous voice. You know, and he would go up in volume, also in pitch, so we'd get slightly higher and higher as the thing went on. Anyway. For us, I guess, as Cub Scouts, it was kind of our banner that we were Fifth Pets Woods. That's who we were, Fifth Pets Woods. Doesn't that sound amazing? The fifth Cub Scout group in Pets Woods. Well, that's who we were. And we have this family banner actually for us as a church. You know, our identity is in Christ. We gather with him at the centre. He's at the centre of our worship and everything. We live for him. We walk through life under his authority. And we have this family banner actually. It could be that one. It could be that one, but it's not. It's that one. And you see it all the time, don't you? You see it when you come into services, usually, when Ian remembers to turn the projector. You see it on the front and the back of the church. You see it on the front of the welcome sheet, and so on. This is our family banner. If you've got all the churches together, walking around, you know, in a parade or something, we might hold up this as our big banner, you know, to say this is who we are. But, you know, in all of this, the emphasis is not on Albert Road Evangelical Church. The emphasis is on here. That here is the risen hand of Christ meeting ours. The emphasis is on here. It says holding on to Jesus, holding out his love. This is actually who we are and what we're about, isn't it? The Albert Road Evangelical Church bit is just a name. Well, actually what we're about is Christ. What we're about is holding on to him. Holding out his love. So this is our family banner, if you like. It might be, like I said earlier on, that you still need to be baptised. And when you're baptised, you come under the banner of Christ. Not really Albert Road Evangelical Church. You're not doing it for our sakes to join our club. That's not how it works. You're doing it in the name of Christ. But maybe there is something which, where actually, maybe you need to think about becoming a member of our church. Of just committing fully to being part of this family, this church family with this family banner. You know? So I'll just leave that with you. But at the start of this year, as you look ahead to 2017, with everything that's going to happen, just remember that. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the banner that we gather under. He's the one we identify with. He's the one we live for and walk with. Everything else that's going to happen this year, we do with that in mind. For us as a church, 2016 was quite a mixed year. We said goodbye to quite a few people, didn't we? Different circumstances. But it's nice as well to say hello to some as well. It was nice to say hello to Ian. It was nice to say hello to Joe. It was nice to say hello to Bob and Mina and the children. You know? And so I don't know where God is leading us in 2017. I don't know what's going to happen come the end of the year. But it's his banner. And he's the one carrying it. He's like Andy Murray at the front of the parade. And we're following him wherever he goes. We're just going to follow him.